If you have a Bible, you can open to the very first page. We're looking at Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. And that text is also printed on the next page of the bulletin. And we're doing a brief series on the Word of God through the end of the year. Like I said before, we're going to start Philippians in January. But regarding the Word, did you know that our denomination, that's the Presbyterian Church in America, has a slogan? It's something we've rarely discussed, but you can find it on the denominational website. We have a slogan, and it is this: faithful to the Scriptures, true to the Reformed faith, and obedient to the Great Commission. I think we're hoping that those things would characterize us as a church. And so as a church, it's been made explicit, the Scriptures are very important to us. It's the first thing in our slogan, it's faithful to the Scriptures. They're foundational to our life together with God. Christians have been called the people of the Word because of the importance of the Word to our lives. It's the Word of God written that we find in the Holy Scriptures. And so we need God's Word. Apart from it, we'd be in the dark when it comes to knowing God, knowing what it means to live with Him. And God has spoken. He has given us His Word. God gives us His Word so that we might know Him. And this is revealed in the very first words of the Scriptures, and it becomes increasingly clear in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, well, let's talk about Genesis 1. Let me pray first, then we'll read the Scripture. Father, as the psalmist prayed, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. We are the simple who need understanding. We need your word to give us light so that we might know you and walk with you. So we thank you for this word. We pray that you teach us and confirm the truth of your word to us by the work of your Holy Spirit in us as we consider it together now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I mean, we just confessed this with faith and thanksgiving together, that this is the word of the Lord. And again, as we considered last week, not just the part of that passage that's in quotation marks there in verse 3, but the whole thing, every word of Scripture, every word of the Scripture that we just read is the word of the Lord. What else could it be? It's the account of the very first thing the Creator did before there was anything else or anyone else. Who else was there to see this? Who else was there to bear witness, to keep an account of it? No one but the God with a spirit and a word. Thus begins the authoritative account of creation given by the only one who was there in the beginning, the Creator himself. Moses wrote it down. That's why we have it in Genesis 1. Moses wrote it down. The faithful assumption is that somehow God told him what had happened. How else would Moses come to know and write this account? God revealed this truth to Moses, who was the human author of the book of Genesis, the Scripture. So the fact that Genesis has a human author, Moses, does not contradict the divine authorship and authority. Both things are true. The Scripture has a human author, and the Scripture has a divine author, right? Every word of each book of Scripture is attributable to both a human author and a divine author. And that right there is something worth reflecting on for the rest of your life. This is a supernatural wonder of God's grace that He would speak through people. People not different from us. People exactly like us. That He would allow sinful human beings the glorious privilege of being His mouthpiece. It's the honor of joint attribution of the Holy Word of God. So it's amazing, the fact that we have this Word of God from this person called Moses. The ultimate source of the scripture is God himself. The written word was his idea, and it carries his authority, his divine authority. So as Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1, the scriptures were not produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And as Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is spirited by God, breathed out by God. Right? So God's Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the scriptures. The scriptures reveal what he wants them to reveal, what he alone can reveal. So nowhere is it more obvious that this must be the case, that God alone can reveal things like this, than it is here in the first words of Genesis. The only one who could possibly give a true eyewitness account of the beginning of creation is God, the Creator himself. If this God wants us to know his work in creation, he would have to make it known by his word to us. And it was his will to make it known by this word that's given through Moses. So when Moses wrote Genesis, he wrote this book, he wrote the first five books that you find in the scriptures. When he wrote Genesis, everything that's recorded in Genesis, from the creation to the fall to the flood of God's judgment to the line of patriarchs winding its way down to Egypt, all of the events that are recorded in Genesis was already ancient history. I mean, the most recent thing that had happened was like 400 years before Moses. So, most significantly, sin had already entered in the world. Our own sin had already ensnared and enslaved us. Our sin had already infected our thinking about God. Our sin had already infected our thinking about reality and life. It had become doubly impossible to know the kind of truth that is revealed in scriptures like Genesis 1. So not only had no one else but the Creator been there to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth and all that was in them, but now also, because of our sin, that means because of our unbelieving presuppositions, because of our prior commitments to believe what is false about God and about his reality, because of our sin, we never could have known the truth unless God explicitly made it known. So as Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, we had become futile in our thinking and our foolish hearts were darkened. So when Moses wrote Genesis, people had already had many centuries to invent a multitude of alternative stories, rival creation narratives, counterfeit accounts of the beginning of the world. The world began with a conflict among the gods. The world began when the gods rebelled against their parents. The world arose out of the corpse of a titan. The gods copulated and gave birth to the world. The gods made the world and people because they needed slaves and nice things. Everything hatched out of a cosmic egg. And so on. A multitude of alternative accounts. By this point, our unbelief was the starting place for our imaginations. The unbelief. Our presuppositions were already dead set in opposition against the truth of God. All those creation stories arose from our sinful assumptions about the gods and about power and about the nature of reality and life. Our sinful assumptions were the starting point. Everything we could imagine about the beginning of the world was cooked up with ingredients gathered from our rebellion against the one true God. We never would have arrived at a true knowledge of God, not even accidentally, given a million years, were it not for the special revelation of God by his word. So that term, special revelation, is something of a theological term that's worth learning. It refers to God's word, specifically as making known what we would not otherwise be able to know. So the Westminster Confession of Faith, which is our denominational theological standard, begins, the first chapter of it, is about the Word of God. It's about the Scriptures. The first paragraph, the very first sentence of it, refers to the necessity of God's special revelation. So it points out that, you know, the light of nature and God's works and creation and providence, they do reveal some things about God generally, like his goodness and his wisdom and his power. But all of them together are insufficient for the saving knowledge of God, the relational knowledge of God. For that, you need God's special revelation. You need his word. You need the Holy Scriptures. God's word is like light that shines in the darkness. If the light didn't shine, all would be darkness. And lo, this is just the kind of thing God has always been doing. From the beginning, God has been speaking. From the beginning, God's powerful, authoritative word has been revealing his nature and his character and his will. God's very first words in creation were, "Let there be light," and there was light. Before, there was no such thing as light. Before, there was nothing at all. And now there was something, something that had received its reality by God's word. God's word created light. God's word called light forth into being. God, by his word, cast light into the darkness. God's word is so real. God's word is so reality-defining, so powerful and authoritative, that his word has created all things out of nothing. Where there was only darkness before, now there was light, simply because of God's word. Because God said, "Let light shine out of darkness." We might be able to conceive of the destructive power of words. Words can hurt other people. By our words, we issue commands to kill. Even the beautiful voice of an opera singer might shatter glass. A beautiful voice. But God's word has creative power. Power to create reality in all its goodness, truth, and beauty. Power to bring forth light out of darkness. Darkness does not generate light. Given millions and billions and trillions of years, darkness does not generate light. Darkness is fundamentally opposed to light. The two are mutually exclusive. But God can bring forth light out of darkness by his word. We talked about light a couple months ago when we considered Leviticus 24. Light is for making things known. By light we see, and we discover, we recognize, and we know things. So we talk about illumination, and we talk about enlightenment. With regard to knowing, so in the Scriptures, darkness means ignorance, and light means knowledge. In particular, light is for the knowledge of God, the personal knowledge of God, the relational knowledge of God. Right here in the beginning, the first thing God creates by his word is light. The first thing this God does in creation is dispel the darkness. So when the first word of the Creator is, "Let there be light," it reveals something about what God is like. Right? This reveals something about his purpose in creation. It reveals something about his nature and his will and his character. He is the God whose word sheds light. He is the God whose word reveals. He is the God whose word makes known. He is the God who makes himself known authoritatively and powerfully and really. The God who creates by his word for the purpose of making himself known. Can God really be known? That's a big question. Lots of people are asking, with the assumption that the answer is no, not really. Can God really be known? Well, the triune God has from all eternity been knower, and known and making known. The fact of his creation, the method of his creation, and the revelation of his creation testify to this. His word pierces the pervasive darkness of ignorance and sheds light. Can God really be known? Yes. Can you know God personally? Even though sin has darkened all our minds, God has given his word for this very purpose, to illuminate our darkened minds with the true knowledge of him, to authoritatively and powerfully and really dispel the darkness of our ignorance. So the psalmist prays to the Lord. And this is something we've already prayed and something we've heard Berta and Tim play for our offertory. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 continues, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. So as the word of God, the scriptures shed light on reality, they make known to us what we would not otherwise be able to know. Apart from the scriptures, we'd be in the darkness of ignorance, not knowing God. Darkness does not generate light. But God can bring forth light out of the darkness by his word. God can make himself known to us by his word, and God has made himself known to us by his word. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So our foolish hearts were darkened in our ignorance of God. Our hearts were like the empty void before God spoke the first word of creation. And then God spoke a word that created something where there was nothing before. A word that sheds light. A word that reveals personal knowledge of God. A word that makes a new creation, new life in our hearts. So 1 Peter chapter 1 says, you've been born again. Not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. You've been born again by the word of God. At the first creation, the God with a spirit and a word brought forth everything out of nothing, brought forth light out of the darkness, brought forth life out of the lifeless, empty void. The same creator by his word, by his spirit, brings forth new life, spiritual life, eternal life, out of the spiritual death and darkness of our hearts as he makes himself known to us in Jesus Christ. So in one sense, the scriptures, they're all the word of God written. In another sense, the scriptures record the word, the spoken word. They reveal the spoken word of God, like here in the quotation marks when God is quoted saying, let there be light. But in the ultimate sense, Jesus Christ is the authoritative and powerful word of God who makes God truly known to us. And that's as Audrey read in our New Testament reading from Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. The same word. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So God has spoken by his Son. His Son is his word. God's Son is his word, the world-creating word. The first word, let there be light. Jesus is himself the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's nature, spoken to shed light on who God really is, what this God is really like, how God can really be known personally. John talks about him this way in his gospel, the word who was with God, the word who was God, this word became flesh, became a human being, the true light, which gives light to everyone who was coming into the world. So Jesus is the Word who is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, shining in the darkness of this world that doesn't know God, expelling the darkness of our ignorance by his very presence. He is the authoritative Word who is God, who upholds the universe by the word of his power. Jesus is the Word of the Creator himself spoken forth, who made all things out of nothing, who sustains the being of all things by his own word. The God who makes himself known by his word, he's the perpetual fountainhead of all reality. The only reason anything exists at all is that this God is the constant source of all things by the power of his relational word. Jesus is the word of the Creator, the perfect revelation of this God in whom we know what God is really like, his nature, his character, his will. Jesus, as God's personal word, is the reason you exist. He is the reason you are alive. He has made you so that you can know him, and you are utterly dependent on him for knowing God. As the word shining into the darkness, he makes a new creation and calls forth a reality that was not. He makes you alive to God when you were not alive to God. And he calls forth the response of your faith where there was none before. Jesus is the good word of God's grace. He is the necessary word. And the only way you can know him is if he makes himself known, which he has done through the word of God written, the Holy Scriptures. Jesus is the word of the Creator spoken into your darkness, saying, "Let there be the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." You need that word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your creative word, for your revealing word. We thank you for your written word, the scriptures that testify to your personal word, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Your word is the only way we can know you. Relationally, the only way we can have saving knowledge of you and truly walk with you. We only live because of your word. We pray that you'd help us to be a people of your word. Help us to be faithful to your word, to receive your word by the work of your Spirit in us, and to proclaim the word of your beloved Son in this world, to shed the light of the knowledge of your glory to those who are in the dark. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.